Sean Goodman.
I'm just like, I'm here.
Classic.
I say one-liners every now and then that make sense, and the rest of the time, you'll find me on the couch.
I can't believe John Goodman is still alive.
Dude.
How has he not died yet?
I don't know.
All right. Well, we are on. That's good. That was a good warm-up right there.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Pack Mentality Podcast. I'm Matt Bauert. I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. I started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today, we're chatting with Chris Williams. He's the man behind CFT Fitness in Tracy, California. He also owns a strength and conditioning gym up there in the same building as well. And Chris just isn't any gym owner. He's also a fitness enthusiast. He's also killing it in the real estate game as well. So, oh, on top of that, I forgot to mention, he has his own podcast called The Morning Dig. I'll make sure to put a link in the show notes. And he's here to share his incredible journey from shaping up his own life to shaping the lives of others, all while juggling many businesses, am I right?
Yeah, probably too many.
Nice. Well, fantastic to have you. Let's kick things off by diving a little bit into your journey and getting some context. So can you take us back to the beginning and share what inspired you to share your life, to transform your life, not just in fitness, but also in business?
Yeah, I mean, I was in shape kind of naturally my whole, childhood and teenage years and all of that. And then, adulthood caught up with me and, fast forward, I'm 25, 26 years old, pretty out of shape and didn't really get my act together slightly until I was about 29. Mm. And then getting ready to turn 30, joined a CrossFit gym, CrossFit Tracy, and kind of took it from there and lost a bunch of weight, lost about 100 pounds. I was close to 400 pounds at the time.
Wow.
And then, you fast forward a few years and I'm at a point in my life where I was done working for other people. I realized in the middle of going back to college that I wasn't going to ever work for someone else again. In the middle of my master's, I'm like, I'll still finish it, but done being trained to be someone else's puppet. So I was going to buy something, and I knew that the owners kind of were half in, half out at that moment. So I offered to buy it, and here we are, I don't know what, almost coming up on 8 years later.
Wow, 8 years.
Yeah.
Dang, what a journey. So what was your master's degree in?
Marketing.
Marketing, interesting.
Yeah.
And so when you made that decision, were you working for a marketing firm or something?
I was literally unemployed, full-time student. I went from I left the company I was working for in 2013. I had just started college, I was 2 years in.
Mm-hmm.
I finished, 2 years or 3 years worth of school in 11 months.
Wow.
Because I just was like, all right, I'll just go on school. I was working 80 hours a week at the time. So I was like, I have the energy. I know I have the muscle power to power through this.
That's crazy. That's quite a work capacity.
Yeah.
To bang that out.
I was going to University of Phoenix. So if anybody knows, it's 5-6 weeks at a time, one class. I took three at once, which was insane because that was, I don't even know what it would equivalent to in units, probably 30 units for a quarter.
Dude, that's intense.
Yeah. So then I was able to do two at a time after that, which would probably be closer to 20 units.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Look at you.
Yeah.
Well, I can see where you get your work ethic from. Tell us about what was that moment like? Would you have a distinct aha moment where you're like, I'm not going to work for anyone else?
Yeah, I was in my master's program and I was trying to remember exactly because it was really a definitive moment. I was sitting at some sort of complimentary speaker engagement thing with a investment broker, an international investment person. And at the time, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get into an international investing. I knew I wanted to get into finance investing. That's just where I, at the time where my passion was at. Shortly before I met the marketing professor that changed everything. And I went up to introduce myself to him and he looked right past me and soft hand, looked right past me at someone else. And I was like, I will never work for one of these fucking assholes. like ever. Like I will never ever do it.
That's such a great moment to realize.
Yeah, like I on paper I had everything he wanted, right? I had the work ethic, I had the processing skills, I had the management skills, I had the operational history, right? Like I had everything that guy could have ever wanted in a person. And he looked right past me because I didn't fit whatever prototype look he was looking for.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he just kind of brushed you off to the side, just no thought. So when he was looking past you, was he looking at someone else?
He was trying to engage someone else in conversation that was three or four people behind me.
Oh.
And it was the whole like offside handshake as he's looking over here.
Oh, it's kind of like, oh, you're here. And I'm just going to kind of, it's you.
You know,
okay.
Like, you know, general, like, oh, look, I have manners.
Like that lip noodle handshake. Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't even that. It was like,
Noises.
I'm like, yeah.
Not even articulating words, just like,
not even an acknowledgement. And wow. I just, at that point, I realized I was never going to work for one of those guys. I would never do it.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of us don't get that opportunity. So that's actually a very good thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, look at you now.
Yeah.
Let's talk about a little bit more about that 400-pound weight loss journey. So you're at 400 pounds. Kind of walk us through what that, you know, what it was like living with that and what you did to change.
So I was probably 375, 370. Okay. And that was like the peak worst of it for me.
Okay.
And, you know, everything hurt. I mean, living hurt, you know? And so I just realized I had to do something, right? And at the time, I always thought, oh, it's working out. I work out, I'll figure it out, right? Yeah, I'd lose like 30, 40 pounds. But then it's like, I'm eating these crazy meals. Like, you remember Muscle Farm?
Yeah, I do.
Right? And the guy had those like frozen meals that was like tilapia and broccoli.
Yeah, I do remember that.
All of a sudden, I was, you know, prepping for Mr. Olympia and like eating that four or five times a day, right? Just pouring this like green salsa over everything to just make it bearable. And I lost like 50 pounds, right? I was down to like 320. Well, guess what? The first time I tasted pizza or anything again, it was like those meals stayed in the freezer and never came out again.
Yeah.
And I ended up gaining it all back. That's about the time I joined CrossFit.
Okay.
And for me, CrossFit was not necessarily a scary thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Absolutely scary. I think I was that like creepy date that called, like, you know, to set up, you know, a meetup or whatever, no sweat, like six times over 3 years before I finally showed up.
Oh, you were a no-shower.
Oh, I was 100% the ghost.
So you were the worst.
Yeah. Back then, I didn't have anything saved. Like, you know, they didn't have a CRM. So like, they didn't know. They were just writing it down on a piece of paper and hoping, you know, the guy showed up.
Right.
So like, they had no recollection I had done this like six times.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Right? Like nowadays, if someone does that, we're like, like, just come on in when you're ready.
Yeah, we have a record of you.
Yeah. So I got the treatment of someone brand new walking in, right? And it was actually my wife. I have to give her all the credit. It was my wife that pushed me to do it. I was working out in the garage like 2 hours a day, probably getting in 25 minutes of actual fitness in that 2 hours. And she's like, this has got to be a better way. Like, we had a friend that was going to CrossFit somewhere else. She's like, look, she's getting her ass kicked in like 60 minutes. Like, you just need to go there and do that because this is like annoying that you're in there so long. So, you know, I did it. And once I got in, I learned about not Whole 30. What's the other one? I can't remember the name off the top of my head. It's one of those paleo ones. They started down here, like CrossFit LA.
Really?
Yeah.
I probably remember the name.
Yeah,
it was a long time ago, though.
Yeah. They
what year was
those
this?
Challenges. 2014.
Oh yeah.
2015.
Yeah, I probably would remember off the top.
Yeah,
of my
there's either. There's like they had these challenges going. It was all online, and there was no money, but it was like, you know, you had three different levels of paleo. You had a beginner, intermediate and advanced level, where it kind of like restricted your foods even more and more. And I lost like 30 pounds in 6 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You know, it definitely worked, but I was still eating like an asshole. But I was just eating a lot of really, I was eating a lot of whole foods with no measure of how much. I was just filling the plate and then generally double layering it. But it, since it was all whole foods,
right,
the weight was just pouring off.
Wow. And you coupled that with CrossFit as well at
right.
the same time.
I was doing CrossFit 4 to 5 days a week.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So you, how long did it take you to, you said you dropped about 30 pounds in 6 weeks.
Right.
What ended up being the most amount of weight you ended up dropping over what time frame?
So I'm streaky, and that's what I'm kind of realized. Like I, over time, like I'm one of those guys, like I'm psychotic to a point of like, I guess John Wick's level of like intense focus for right. periods. And I've tried to level that out over time, but I realized that that's kind of how I did weight loss. I'd lose that 30 pounds and then I'd kind of flutter around for a while. And then I'd another challenge and I'd lose another 30 and then I'd flutter around for a while. And then I had like a 2-year period where I didn't lose any weight. And I went to CrossFit, but I ate like just a total piece of shit for like 2 years. And I was like, I got frustrated with that. In about 2015, I took control back again.
Okay.
Yeah, probably 2015, late 2000, so maybe a year and a half of like just floundering at where I was, which was probably 300 pounds. And I got into this thing, RP, and I was like, I'm going to work out twice a day, multiple days a week, doing barbell walk and class and all these things. I'm going to eat like an athlete and not look like one. And I probably lost another 40 pounds. Like I got down about 260 before I took wow. over the gym and forgot what working out and eating right was, because you know the gym became life.
Like, yeah,
the business of the gym became life.
Yeah, I know how that feels. Okay, so how long was that journey then, of that journey from about like that high 300s down to like that 260 range?
That had to be over like a 3-year period.
3-year period.
Yeah, and late 2013 to, when did I go to Korea? Like March 2016.
Okay. And you were kind of yo-yoing during that time, but you kind of, would you say that when you would plateau and then lose some and then plateau and then lose some, or would you gain a little bit back?
I'd gain some back.
Okay.
Because I was never fully in control.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. At that point, I was never fully in control. It was right. always like, you know, like a 90-day sprint and okay. then 100, like 200 days of no rigidity at all.
Okay. Okay. And then now you mentioned that's a good place to kind of dig into the whole gym ownership. So what kind of sparked that interest of buying the gym in the first place?
Not working for someone else ever again.
Yeah.
And just the autonomy of having something. And I, at the time I realized like I really fell for CrossFit. I do believe it changed the trajectory of my life quite a bit and, you know, changed my life for the better. And I wanted to make sure that it kept going and that someone else didn't take over and crush what we had. And at the same time, I had the financial means to do it from all the work I'd put in over the years.
Yeah.
Money saved up. And I knew at that time I was either going to buy a business or I was going to start my own CrossFit if that one didn't want to sell.
Yeah. Well, nailed it.
Yeah.
And so now walk us through what kind of happened during those first 1 or 2 years. So, so now you're running a business.
Yeah.
Now you're kind of getting punched in the face, just like how we all do when we start our own gyms or we buy one. Kind of tell us like what happened with your health as well.
Yeah. So the gym actually took off. Probably that first year and a half, like we blew up, like we grew tremendously, but it was not in the right ways. But I basically took my eye off working out altogether, like food, diet, working out, all went to shit. Because at the time it's like, no, I have to work from 5 a.m. to, you know, 8, 9 p.m. every day or this thing won't work. Right. And so I didn't have kids. My wife worked hard. So it was a match made in heaven for me to just work. And what ended up happening was I got to a point where I had ballooned back up to well over 300 pounds again.
Okay. So you went from like that 260 range back up to over 300.
Oh, yeah. Well okay. over 300.
Well over 300.
320, 310, 320, 330.
Okay.
Then, you know, 2019, 2020, I lost some of it, got back under 300. And then the pandemic caught up with me. Originally, I lost weight in the pandemic. I worked out. Once the first couple of weeks got through and I stopped drinking and watching Tiger King every night, like I started losing weight. And I think it got to about 2022. So I gained all the weight back and I was about 350 pounds when we met. I think you were at the Summit Tinker meetup.
Yeah, I think so.
2022.
Right.
I was 350 pounds. I was at max capacity, full load, and just hated everything about myself. And like, got in that room, saw all these gym owners, and I was like, the only difference between me and them is they prioritize their fitness and their health.
Yeah.
That's it. And I left there and nothing changed for a month. Like, and then I don't know what happened. I went up to the mountains where we have a house for 4th of July. I didn't eat like shit. I didn't drink really at all. And I came home and I was like, huh, I should just keep this going. And that's, I just dove full head on from that day forward. And I lost 80 pounds between July of 2022 and I don't know, June of 2023.
Wow.
It was actually 10 months. So
about 10 months, 80 pounds in 10 months.
Yeah.
That is crazy. So you went all in, man.
Yeah. I would. Yeah. Like the intense focus thing kicked in, but just from a much longer period of time.
Right. Well, I mean, also, I feel like that you've done it before, so you already have all this knowledge and you have the habits and behaviors. It was just a matter of kickstarting that again.
Yeah, so, and this time I did it differently. The focus was on a balance, right?
Okay.
So it was never about deprivation. It was, I worked out consistently, but I also was getting up at 4 a.m.
Okay.
Get up at 4 a.m. walking. And then working, and then my son will wake up, and then I'm spending sun time, and then I would work out sometime in the late morning, early afternoon.
Okay.
Was that sustainable? No. I mean, for some people, if you can get up 4 a.m. every day and crush it, awesome. For me, it's too hard to get to bed at a decent hour.
Mm-hmm.
My son's, he goes to bed late. He's not the type of kid that goes to bed at like 7 p.m. So, and neither is my wife. So it's like, it just didn't work for my lifestyle. I'm going to bed at 9 or 10, getting 5 hours of sleep, getting up and doing it again. So for me, I get up at 6 a.m. now. But yeah, a lot of it was not necessarily rigidity, but structure. I structured my days appropriately to where I was able to prioritize that shit.
Wow. Can you go into a little bit more detail about what you did specifically over those 10 months to lose 80 pounds?
Yeah, I focused on three main controllables, and those controllables for me were, do I get my steps in, which at the time was 10,000. Right now, my focus is 8.
Okay.
Right? Because like I realized there's not really, like, that's just a stupid number someone came up with. Like there's really no scientific proof that 10,000 steps, like realistically, if you're getting in 8,000 steps a day, you're getting in plenty. So that's my number.
Okay.
And then I would walk somewhere between, I built it up from walking 10 minutes at a time, a couple times a day, to about 45 minutes, first thing in the morning, 4 a.m. And then anchored that with my coffee. And then I would go to, and then I would work. But really I had three main focuses every day. Getting my steps in, eating a meat-based diet, right? I realized my body just reacts insanely well to a protein-based diet.
Yeah.
So as long as I was doing that, and then I was lifting at least 4 times a week. It was a match made in heaven for me. I was just crushing it.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. And when you say lifting, what kind of lifting were you doing?
I was doing more bodybuilding back then.
Yeah.
I was doing a lot of hypertrophy stuff. It just worked for me for the way my body was feeling. Now I'm back to more CrossFit.
Okay.
But back then, it worked really well for me to hit like a 60-minute hypertrophy, you know, bodybuilding. You know, one day's is bench, one day's squat, one day's deadlift, one day's intermixed.
Yeah. Do you have an idea of how much muscle mass you put on during that time as well?
Oh yeah. I probably put on at least 20 pounds of muscle and lost 15% body fat.
Wow. In 10 months.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny that how much a high protein diet and then just doing hypertrophy and then like your slow, steady zone two work, work so effectively, because I think a lot of people get caught up in the CrossFit trap. Like I do CrossFit all the time too, but, I do see that when I add in bodybuilding and zone two work that my health, my body composition and my caloric burn is definitely more effective when I mix those all three together into one. Are you still currently doing kind of a combination of all three, or are you mostly focused on CrossFit now?
For the last week, I'd say week, 10 days, I've been doing more CrossFit style.
Okay.
For me, it's just, I got to change it up every now and then. And I was kind of getting burnt down on the bodybuilding hypertrophy level.
Yeah.
This has made it interesting again. And also, it's a little more friendly for my schedule. Right now, my schedule is really crazy.
Yeah.
So being able to get in a 20-minute, every minute on the minute workout and feeling like I crushed the day doesn't leave me feeling that like shame that I didn't do enough,
right?
You know, that a lot of us live with, of like, I didn't get enough pump, I didn't get enough of this.
And yeah,
like, if you're gonna do a 20-minute like hypertrophy workout, you are not getting the pump.
Yeah,
it's gonna be in the back of your head all day long.
Exactly. That's one thing I do find too, because on the weekends I do a lot more bodybuilding and zone two work. That's when I kind of take it a little bit easier and mix things up, and I do find that I need at least an hour and a half to get in a decent hypertrophy workout.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm doing tempo, I'm actually sticking to my rest periods, I'm warming up properly, you know, and if I'm actually doing my tempo how it's supposed to be done, I do find that it takes quite a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a joke. Like, it's if you're truly trying to build muscle mass and you're truly trying to get strong, it is a labor of love, and emphasis on labor, because ain't nobody loving it during.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that loves the feeling of your muscles basically getting ripped apart, like, with every rep, but the results speak for themselves.
No, absolutely. No, that's fantastic. Thank you for kind of clarifying all that. That's a crazy journey. 20 pounds of muscle, 80 pounds of fat loss, 15% body fat reduction in 10 months.
Yeah.
That is insane. That's one of the coolest things I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, it was, I just didn't realize how my body would react. Like, when you just put that perfect concoction together, when you find that perfect mix, and my mix was hypertrophy and basically a carnivore diet, and my body was just like, we are in heaven. We will do anything you ask.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Is there any other kind of subtle things that maybe other people who are listening who, you know, are kind of on this journey, is there anything else that, you know, they might not know, or something that you did that maybe is unique to that journey?
I habit stacked a lot.
Habit stacked. Okay.
The first thing I did was when I started habit stacking, I realized that walking, I could listen to music or I could listen to an audiobook. So that was the first habit stack, was adding an audiobook instead of music.
Smart.
And
how long did you walk for?
I mean, at first it was 10, 20 minutes, and then eventually it built to 30 consistently, and then eventually 45.
Okay. So you just kind of,
kept building, like, how I was feeling.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
And, you know, I was listening to one of the first books I ever listened to was Atomic Habits.
Great book. James Clear, right?
Yeah. One of the first things he hit me with that, like, just blew my socks off was habit stacking. And so if you're going to do anything and you can be productive, like, if you're struggling with productivity because, oh, I don't have time to work out, I have to work. Well, you could walk at a slow pace, right? List, low intensity, steady state cardio before you eat in the morning and clear your emails, right? You could clear your emails. You could fire back emails for people. You could record content. You can do a million things during that time, right? If you have school or you have certifications you have to finish or whatever, and there's video modules, you can watch those videos while you do your low intensity cardio.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did. And so I was learning, and I'm just like, I'm realizing I'm growing as a person while at the same time I'm getting in cardio that if I don't do anything the rest of the day, I have worked out.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't want to consider that working out. Guess what? It is.
It is.
It is. You can check that box, right? Especially if you're just looking to lose weight. And also, it gave me a ton of ideas. I would come off the treadmill, like, fired up,
the
roof, ready to write. And I would write blogs for the gym.
Right.
And I would write content for myself. And
that makes sense.
You know, so it's like, it was just a kind of a triple stack there of, like, just massive outburst of production.
Mm-hmm.
And take all that away, like, if you're just moving and you're getting in 8,000, 10,000 steps a day and you're listening to something or you're doing something with it, like, you're productive, right? If there's one other thing I learned that I think is super important, get more sleep. I think I, as great as my results were, I think I actually held back probably, I would say probably 20%, maybe more.
Really? Oh yeah. Cause you're sleeping about 5 hours, right?
Yeah. Especially the weight loss part. I probably should have lost 20% body fat. I probably should have lost a lot more weight.
Yeah. If you were sleeping a little bit longer.
But you know, I just wasn't sleeping enough.
Yeah.
And, I can only imagine any other muscle growth too. Like if I look back now, I wish like I should have sacrificed some sleep. I should have sacrificed some of the production to sleep at least another hour.
Yeah.
5 a.m. I probably would have been perfect. Right now I'm at 6 and I've been considering going back to 5 to be able to bring back that early morning walking. Right now I do cold plunge and sauna.
Okay.
And those really set me up mentally. Like I feel really good. I don't feel like I have to fight. I don't feel like I have to fight it when I do those things. Like some people are like, oh, I build myself up to do it. I'm like, I'm excited. I love jumping in the cold plunge first thing in the morning. I love hopping in the sauna after. I love sauning right before bed. I've slept better in my life now than ever in my entire life. So
because of the sauna specifically?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about both of those a little bit since you brought that up.
Yeah. So I have a spa in my backyard. Okay. I have a built-in in-ground spa and pool. And I started the cold plunge thing in my bathtub. And I was just pouring the water and I had a little, you know, floating thermometer thing that you can get from like Amazon for like $10. And I was manipulating, you know, I was manipulating the faucets to make sure it didn't get below like 65, you know, and, I was doing that and that was brutal. And then one day my wife just kept poking at me. You just need to go in the spa. You just need to go in the spa. The spa's cold enough. Just go in the spa. And I'd look. But like, that shit says like 58 degrees. Are you out of your mind? Like, you know, that 7 degrees was going to put me in hypothermia. Right?
Yeah.
And then one day I lowered it in our bathtub to like, I don't know, 62. I thought I was hot shit.
Right? Yeah.
And I was like, I'm killing it. And she's like, let's go out and check the spa and see how close it is to that. Right. Well, I didn't manipulate the bathtub to turn on any hot water. So I went out and looked, and it was like 55, 54 degrees. And I went back in and checked the bathtub and it was like 57. And I'm like, oh shit. All right. I got to do it. I can't drain all this water and do it over again. So I hopped in, it was brutal, but I was like, man, that's only 3 degree difference. So then the next day I went out to the spa and I've been doing the spa ever since. And the spa sits somewhere between 50 and 55 since I started doing it.
Okay.
I don't know, a month and a half ago.
Okay. What do you feel like you're getting some cognitive benefits from that as well?
Oh, I mean, I'm like fired up the minute I get out and like the tingling throughout my body stops from like, you know, it feels like your body went to sleep when you're drying yourself off because it's so cold.
Yeah.
Once that light wears off, I'm good. You know, I'm fired up. So,
right.
You know, and then I'll go right into the sauna. That's the other part I didn't know right away. And I wish I would have. I was constantly cold. Like internal core temperature did not warm up fast enough because I'm still not metabolically healthy, like to the level that you would want to be if you were going to cold plunge and then go about your day.
Yeah.
So I think that's something people need to realize. If you're not metabolically healthy, and that means like if you're overweight, you're not metabolically healthy. I don't care what your doctor told you. You're not going to, your core temperature is not going to come back.
Yeah.
At a normal speed. You need to have something to warm you up, and a hot shower is not going to do it. Mm-hmm. Like you need a sauna. You need to go sit in your car with the car on and the heat's been pumping for 20 minutes and like sit in that thing and hot box yourself for a little while. Like you got to do something, right? Because otherwise you're going to be cold all day. You're going to wonder why everything is super finicky. Like your body hurts. Like it's just, it sucks. So like if you're in a cold plunge and you are metabolically not conditioned well, overweight, or you're just not healthy, I'm working out, like do not just go right into cold plunge and think this is going to change my life. Like it does not work that way,
right? Let's talk a little about the sauna now. So you do the cold plunge, right?
Yep.
And then you go into the sauna after.
Yep.
Tell us just details on that.
The goal is just to get in and warm myself up. The minute I feel a bit of sweat, I'm like, okay, I'm probably warm. Fuck off and go do what I need to do.
Okay. How long do you spend in the sauna afterwards?
So a lot of days, I'll just spend 20 minutes. Like I'll spend a full 20 minute session.
Full 20 minutes.
Because I just enjoy it. But If I don't have time, I just wait for that one bead of sweat, and I know my body's pretty much back to normal.
Okay.
And I'll go about my day, which can take somewhere between 8 and 12 minutes, depending on how cold the sauna was.
Right.
Like, you know, all the different factors. But my real goal is to hit at least one 20-minute session minimum. I'm up to about 25 minutes now at 185 degrees every day.
Wow.
And the closer to bed, the better, because I sleep like a baby.
Yeah, I did find that too when I have used the sauna a few times, is that I pass out.
Yeah.
So you use it closer to bed. So you do the cold plunge in the morning, you do the and you do the sauna at night.
Yeah, I'll do a cold plunge and then a reheat in the sauna. And then if I know I'm not going to have time, like I'm either going to be gone or like whatever, like this morning, I'll do the whole session. I'll do like 30 minutes in the sauna, 10 minutes to warm myself back up, and then a full 20 minutes of actual sauna.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Awesome. So any other benefits that you see other than just your sleep?
That's the number one for me.
Okay.
I've struggled with sleep most of my life, like sleeping deep. And the minute I started using the sauna at night, like my sleep has never been deeper. I've never slept so consistently for long periods of time. Like, it has changed everything for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let's kind of pivot back to your weight loss journey. Because, I mean, it seems like you have a really good routine dialed in now of what you're doing, especially from all the years of you working on this. What would you say are like your top three fast, actionable tips you could give someone who's looking to start their weight loss journey?
So really it depends on where you're starting from.
Yeah.
If you're starting from a place of no activity at all, start walking. Even if it's just 10 minutes at a time, like just start walking. Don't add weight. Don't add incline. Don't add anything. Just start walking.
Mm-hmm.
From there, cut out the most bullshit foods that you have in your house, right? Like, if you think protein is derived from spaghetti, start with actually eating meat.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like stuff like that. Beans are not protein, despite what your vegetarian friends tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Eat meat, right? Like just start there. Just eat more meat and less of everything else. Fill half your plate with meat if you need to. Fill your whole plate if you love it like I do.
Yeah, man after my own heart. I ate a pound of meat this morning.
Right. Like you don't need anything else. Like realistically, you can get away with that. Are you going to be hungry? Yeah. Is you going to be mentally fatigued? Yeah. But like once you get through that first week or so, like you'll never feel better. If you feel the need to balance your meals, awesome. Just stay away from all the crap.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you don't need the frozen meals. You don't need all that. You just need healthy foods. If you just go to straight whole foods and fill your plate with it three times a day, like, you're going to lose weight.
Yeah.
If you were eating as shitty as me or, like, most people.
So yeah.
That's number two. Like, just walk. You don't need to worry about lifting right away. And if you do want to lift, you feel like I absolutely have to, 5 minutes, a 5x5 or even one set of five of like a squat one day, a deadlift one day, and a bench one day.
Oh, yeah.
After walking, that's it. You're done. Clap your hands, move on.
Yeah. Right?
So if you're getting those two things in, plus eating whole foods, and like, yeah, people probably aren't going to expect me to say this, but please get enough sleep.
Yeah.
Like if you just do those three things, you're going to have a world, like in 30 days, you'll look back and be like, what the hell happened to me?
Yeah, totally. Now, kind of looking back on your journey, what were some of the biggest obstacles that you had to overcome? Because, you know, you've yo-yoed back and forth and now it seems like you're dialed in. What were some of those obstacles or the biggest ones that you had to overcome every time you were yo-yoing?
It would seem like I have it dialed in.
It seems like it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just the constant sprints, right? And then you're exhausted and you just, it's so hard to keep going. Whereas like, I realized I have to treat my diet and my health like I treat my cardio, low intensity and steady,
mm-hmm.
right? I'd rather lose a pound a week for the whole year and lose 52 pounds than lose 52 pounds in 4 months and then spend the rest of the year hating anything that looks remotely like healthy food.
Yeah.
Right. So, well, the one thing I realize now, because I think part of the reason I plateaued at 270 is I didn't change who I was again. I lost the weight so fast, I didn't have a chance to adapt to the person that I had become.
Right.
I didn't have a chance to realize, to learn the behaviors and the thought process and the habits and the words and the descriptions and everything required to become the person I need to be to get down to 200.
Right.
Right. The person I need to be at 200 pounds to be 200 pounds and stay there is a vastly different human being than someone who is sits around 270, 280.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
So for me, it's go steady. And if you do lose weight fast, be okay with sitting at a weight where you're like, okay, I don't have any of the medical problems. I don't have any of the aches and pains. It's okay to stay here for a little while, get comfortable with where I'm at, and prepare for the next
right
journey, right? Because the, for the next journey, you might need to be a completely different person.
Yeah.
Right? And the way I describe it is, I tell people, what three words do you think people would describe you as? If you were going to ask them randomly, like, what are some common words you would, descriptor words you would, they would give you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think those words are the same words required to be where you want to be long term?
Yeah.
And generally speaking, the answer is no. Like when I wrote down my words after Dallas,
mm-hmm.
of who I needed to be to get to 200 pounds, I was like, these are not what I would describe myself as, or what I would expect someone else to describe myself, me as, like today.
Wow. No, I really liked how you framed that. And I really like how you gave the reality of the person who's at 265 in order to get to 200 requires an entire different set of skill set.
Yeah.
Now, what's some actionable advice you would give to someone to acquire those kind of skills?
Hire coaches.
Yeah.
Like when I started this weight loss journey, the biggest difference between any other journey I had is, yeah, I had fitness coaches in the past. I might have a nutrition coach. I don't think so. I think it was just the challenges. For me, it's, I had a mindset coach, not a therapist. Don't get it twisted, boys. Like, you know, like, you can have a mindset coach that's not a therapist. Like, they're helping you with performance.
Mm-hmm.
My mindset coach works with Olympians, CrossFit Games champions, like all sorts of people, right?
Right.
Like, he works with athletes that want that mental level, like CEOs, high-level CEOs.
So. Yeah.
Not to toot my own horn, but yeah, it's pretty tight. And then I didn't have a coach for fitness, obviously, but I had a program. I didn't have to think about it. And then I had a nutrition coach for a while, but for me, I've realized what I do and what works best for me is not really taught, right? It's learned. I'm very much a, what am I looking for here? I'm very much that intuitive dieter.
Mm-hmm.
What works for me can't necessarily come from a book or a program. Like, it's very intuitive.
Right.
And then I had other coaches, right? I had business coaches. I had all these people. So I had all this accountability. I had all these people that, and I was very vocal about what I was trying to accomplish. I didn't hide this from anyone. You can't go into something like this and be like, I'm going to surprise everybody in 6 months and show them how well I look. Like, because they're all going to be like, why are you being a dick and not eating tonight? Like, and then the peer pressure is eventually going to cave,
right? Yeah.
Because you're not telling anyone, no, because this doesn't fit my goal.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So like, if you're vocal about it and you're constantly telling people, no, I'm serious about this, like, give it a few weeks. They will back off. In fact, they'll start telling you, oh, you know, we can't go. Like, we won't even go there to eat because I don't want to tempt you. Like,
yeah,
it becomes a team effort.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now that we're kind of in that same mode of, you know, overcoming obstacles and everything, let's kind of go back to the obstacles that you faced when you're running, when you've ran, or sorry, currently running CFD Fitness. What are some of the biggest hurdles that you had to overcome during your time in those 8 years of the gym?
Doubt. I mean, that's probably, you know, imposter syndrome and doubt. But if I had to really, really narrow it down to one thing, it's like, a lot of people in the business world are there for a season of your life, a season of the business. You know, you have to realize, like, and it's something I posted a couple of days ago that I said this epiphany and I had to get it off my chest, is like, there's two different types of people when you start a business or buy a business, whatever it is. Like, when you start on that journey, There's the haters and doubters. That's one group. And then there's the supporters. And if you're in this long enough, and 8 years is a long time, if you're in this long enough, they're going to reverse roles.
Oh, yeah.
Over time, they're going to reverse.
Yep.
Because the supporters that were there for you day one weren't I don't know if they necessarily weren't expecting you to succeed, but it was definitely more of a charitable effort.
Yeah.
Right? And the haters and doubters are generally people that are waiting for you to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
And once you've proven them wrong, you've earned their respect. Now they're your supporters. And those supporters that weren't expecting you to succeed are the ones trying to tear you down because you're a mirror of what they've failed or have failed to either ever start or see through.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And lastly, like the biggest thing I've had to get through is realizing at times the person that got me to where I was is not the person that's going to get paid the next level.
Yeah.
Right. And it's okay. I don't take that personally, but I have big dreams and big aspirations. And one of them is to create a fundamental level of business where people can live out their dreams in the fitness space, making a full-time living in the state of California, that they can make enough to own a home, drive a nice car, take care of their family, and still have time in the day to be a parent, a friend, a spouse, or anything else they want to do with their life.
Yeah, that's a great mission.
So if you're in the way of that, thanks, but no thanks.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nailed it. And with that, do you have a framework already lined up or some sort of roadmap to actually get people there, like at volume or at scale?
Yeah, it started in 2020 when I realized like my staff was struggling. Like my staff that was considered even close to full time, they were struggling to get by.
Okay.
And I took that really to heart because I realized a lot of that was my fault.
Yeah.
That I hadn't financially set them up the way they needed to.
Yeah.
And then I looked at how many people were switching industries. How many amazing coaches left the fitness industry in 2020 between 2020 and 2022.
Oh yeah.
Right? Because they weren't supported financially, mentally, nothing. They got no support. And not to say that the gym owners or anyone who was in the wrong, we were all struggling to survive, but yeah. Like they just had no support.
Yeah.
And so I realized I wanted to create more opportunity in an industry that didn't have any.
Yeah.
And right now we've got, oh God, how many full-time people do I have? At least five.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
And between the two gyms, probably seven or eight at this point.
Wow.
So the blueprint's pretty simple. If gym owners are listening to this, what do you need done? What does that person get at? Build a job around those things. It doesn't have to be a silo of just, oh, they're a coach, so they coach. And if they can't coach enough, they don't make a living.
Like, yeah.
I just hired a coach this week that we built like seven different tasks and jobs into a full-time gig.
That's awesome.
With the understanding that as certain things take off, the low level jobs that we built to guarantee her income now are going to fall off and go to someone else.
Okay.
And I basically explained it to her like an escalator. I'm like, think of an escalator where there's like hooks and you're carrying all these jobs. And then as you go up the escalator, you're going to drop one on a hook that like no longer fits, but there's someone four or five steps behind you coming up the escalator that's now going to grab that because that's their job now. Right. We're just creating the cyclical nature of like rising people up.
Yeah.
And other people grabbing what you're letting go of as you settle into what your primary focus is.
Exactly. And you're working on also ascending the people who are coming up at different levels of the ladder as well.
And you might have someone that's newer, they're 19 years old and they just want to coach a little bit. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. Hang up those three classes that don't fit your schedule anymore and let that guy grab them.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want to do cleaning anymore? Cool. Hang that next to it and let them grab both of those things. Right?
Exactly.
So I get this 19-year-old kid with an opportunity that might turn into a full-time employee some other day.
Yeah.
But that is serving my full-time coach by allowing them to take stuff that stresses them out off their plate.
For sure. For sure. That's awesome. So sounds like that you got a good system going and then, you know, we're going to see that scale soon. Am I right?
I'm hoping. I mean, I flip-flop on the idea of ever owning more gyms.
Yeah.
But the way things are going right now, I do feel like there's a need for more CFTs in the world.
Yeah.
There's just too many areas where guys like us don't exist and coaches are just getting trampled or not making enough.
Yeah.
That have the talent to succeed at an astronomical level.
No, I 100% agree with you. And I'm glad you brought that up because I've had so many great coaches come and go throughout my gym. And yeah, before I had any business sense, it's like, I just couldn't afford to pay them any kind of full-time living, especially in California. And we've had so many of them move on either to the military, fire, police. And I'm just like, dang, like they would be incredible if they were, if they were career coaches, but they also, I don't blame them because they have to take care of themselves and their families.
Yeah. And I'm not alone. I've lost a lot of them to stuff like that too.
Yeah.
I've lost them to, Silicon Valley.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
I've lost them to all sorts of stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, it's there. We have to be willing to shelve stuff that we do and find higher level roles for ourselves too. So it started with me separating myself and what I call the step up before you step out role.
Yeah.
I stepped up a million times over the last 6 months, just constantly trying to step up. Give my team, empower my team to do the things that I was doing so that I could find higher level roles to make it make even more sense for me to step out.
Yeah, 100%. And so you have this step up before you step out kind of philosophy. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So it's actually one of the keynotes I'm working on, and the whole idea is, and it works with fitness too. You have to step up enough times that you've basically created a platform for other people to stand on.
Okay.
And once you've created that platform, then you can step out. But people want to rush to like, oh, I got to get to the next endeavor. I got to get the next passion. Mm-hmm. I got to lose 30 pounds in 6 months, in 6 weeks or else. And there's how many gyms out there that like prey on that.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, it was like, I realized this epiphany. I kept trying to step out. I kept trying to like hire myself out of the gym because I have other passions. I have other things I want to do.
Right.
But I was never stepping up. I was never proving to my staff that I was there with a life with a life preserver ready to go if something happened.
Yeah.
They just felt like they were just dropped in the ocean, figured out, sink or swim, right?
Not right.
Head to the beach.
Yeah. So you guys are running the show now.
Yeah, exactly. And I kept doing that and I kept getting really negative results and I couldn't figure out why.
Oh, okay.
And, I've been probably spent the last 3 months since the beginning of the year. I'm about halfway through book number 9 on leadership.
Yeah, you've read 8 books this year already, haven't you?
Yeah, and all leadership. All leadership.
Okay.
And it's just been a whirlwind of like thought, right? And it's been insane how much has changed without me really putting anything into progress yet. But at the same time, I think I'm changing because of the absorption of all this knowledge.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I realize I'm just stepping up more. Like I'm always asking how I can help. And I've been doing that for a while, but now I'm like really like I'm stepping up and I'm doing things, taking on sales. I'm doing, I'm making sure they know like, yeah, we're swamped right now. I'm in it too.
Okay.
Right. And before I would just be like, oh, you guys will figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, I'll coach you a little bit from afar.
Yeah. One of my biggest mistakes was like, I'll coach you how to do this one time and then that's it. You're on your own rather than, or like I'll never come back and audit the process either.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where I'm willing to get my hands dirty. Like I was almost afraid, like if I touched it, it would like envelope me and I would get sucked back in forever.
Yeah.
You know? So for me, it became more like, I got to be in it. I have to make them realize that I'm all in, even though I'm focused on something else. Like I'm still all in. Like I will still dive in a moment's notice if you need me.
That's awesome. That's the mark of a true leader right there.
Right. And that's a funny thing. I won an award in 2022 for leadership. Mm-hmm. All I did was bring a bunch of staff to the summit and like paid for some people to get mentoring. I wasn't a leader.
Yeah.
The guy I am today, I would be like, if I won a leadership award, I'd be like, maybe I deserve that. But like there was no, I wasn't a leader back then.
Okay.
I was just willing to throw money at trying to make other people grow without my input.
Right. So you just like you could throw money at it and when the problem would solve itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Somebody else could
figure it out. It's like, I'm paying you, you figure it out because I'm paying you.
Yeah.
Kind of mentality.
Yeah. But I'm like, here, I got you a mentor. Bye.
Yeah. Now you do your thing. All right. So you've read 8 leadership books. You're on book number 9 and they're all been leadership, correct?
Yeah.
I think you mentioned that. Okay. So what is like the big aha moment that you've taken from the accumulation of all those 8 to 9 books?
I think the step up, man, like no matter what you want to do in life, the more you step up and prove that you know, you can be there, the more reliant they can be on you, the less they actually need you. So as I've stepped up a ton, I've realized like they have become more and more confident that I'll be there in a moment's notice, and less reliant on that.
Right.
Like they don't actually want to pick up the bat phone anymore.
Yeah.
They just want to figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. They would rather not bother me and like as a team collectively come together to figure out problems. And they'd be like, hey, look what we figured out. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like you could have called me. But they're like, no, we don't want to bother
you. Okay.
And it's become more and more of that. And
interesting.
Less. But when I was out of it all the time and like thought I was giving them all this confidence and like autonomy, they're like, no, get your ass back here. Right.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to call you everything, single thing that comes through, where now it's like, I'm more there. They know I'm around and they don't want to use me.
Right.
So it's like, I think it's everything you think the cause and effect would happen with that is the opposite.
Interesting. Can you give us some specific examples of the step up what was it called?
The step up before you step up.
Oh yeah. Can you give us some specific examples of that and how you've seen that in your gym specifically?
Yeah, it doesn't need to be astronomical stuff.
Okay.
It can just be something as simple as, how are you doing? Is there anything I can support you with today?
Mm-hmm.
Before I take off, do you need anything from me? Not, all right, guys, I got to go pick up my kid. Bye.
Yeah.
Like having 10 minutes before I know I need to leave to ask. Just even if it's just as brief as like, hey, you need anything from me before I go? I got to go pick up Landon. Nope, we're good. Right?
Yeah. Just being there for them. Yeah. Just like that, I'm here for you guys.
Quick step up.
Yeah.
Right? It could be something as much as like, we had someone that was a great example yesterday. One of my ops managers, an amazing salesperson, probably the best salesperson we've ever had, myself included, at the gym. And she had someone that texted back, you know, our big hang up is the price.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been, you know, thinking about transparency a lot and realizing like, I think we need to be more transparent about where we are. We need to be more transparent about our mission and what we're really trying to accomplish, which is not to be millionaires. It's to help 5,000 people, at least 5,000 people in the Tracy area, chronic disease and obesity.
Yeah.
And so I kind of layered my response to them like, hey, totally understand. We are not the cheapest. We're probably one of the most expensive, but here's why. Our pricing allows us to hire and retain the best coaches in the area and to make them full time. So this is what they do for a profession. So you're getting the best of these people.
Yes.
This is like what they eat, sleep, and breathe.
Exactly.
Because this is what puts food on the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not to say hobby coaches aren't great.
Yeah.
But it's to say that what we do requires, and the level of expectations we have requires a different level of commitment.
100%.
Right? We have plenty of bench coaches and part-time coaches that crush it.
Yeah.
But we are fortunate to have multiple full-time coaches that eat, sleep, and breathe this. And it is, whether anyone likes it or not, there is a massive difference.
100%.
If you're going enough. And so I kind of laid all that out and I'm like, look, I totally support if you decide that this is just not financially feasible for you. But we put our money where our mouth is with our mission.
Yeah.
So we will happily refer you to another gym in the area that's more financially a better financial fit.
Yeah.
Because either way, we're still helping towards our goal.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Regardless if they're training with you or not.
Right. And a few hours later said, we'd like to sign up.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, and I showed my ops manager, I'm like, hey, I just left this like for you. You can use this with people. There's no bullshit to it.
It's true.
Not sleazy sales. Yeah. It's just 100% honesty.
Yeah.
I'm like, I really do think transparency is where we need to be.
Yeah.
So feel free to use this and modify it for people that have a price objection or any type of objection, and just be honest with them like this and see how it works.
Yeah.
She's like, you just sold two people for me. Like,
yeah,
and
exactly.
She gets a bonus when we do over a certain number in the gym. Right. So I just helped her towards that number. I don't take the commission from her. She gets a bonus at the end of every month if we hit our number.
Yeah.
So for me, that was a massive step up, but for me, it was just, I saw the text and I was like, I know she's going to struggle with this one.
Yeah.
So like, let me try something. And then that way, if it fails, it's on me. It's not on her.
Exactly.
But if it hits, now we've got, boom, here, use that.
Yeah. You have a whole other script that you're able to use. Yeah. And I think that's fantastic, because the fitness industry as a whole is such a low trust industry.
Yeah.
And when people already have their guard up when it comes to like fitness industry, might as well be used car salesmen as well, because there's so many different options. Like there's so many get fit or lose weight fast schemes out there. So yeah. People are already somewhat defensive, but when you have that and you're transparent about what you want to do, where you're going and the reason why you make these decisions, people are like, oh, okay. Like they're very serious about this. And then, you know, then that's when the client has buy-in as well. And then they're going to see better results because not only are they getting better coaching from a full-time coach or even the part-timers, I'm sure get much better training because of that as well.
No, our internship process has been no joke. Thanks to a former owner of the gym, who's an amazing, amazing coach. And for a long time, I paid him a lot of money, right? Yeah. To be full-time and to train our interns. And his program is real, real, real stringent. Like probably way more stringent than we'll ever offer again. But they have, it's almost like boot camp, right? Like the whole idea of a military boot camp is when shit goes haywire, when you're out there in the mess, in the war, you have these like just insane base level knowledge and drills that have been drilled into your brain.
Yeah.
So like you have something to fall back on in the worst moments.
Yeah.
And that's essentially what he did for them. Is like, no, you don't have to be a robot. You have to be a robot while you train this internship program. But once you get on the floor, you're going to have this to fall back on. If you have the worst person possible comes into class and it's just a massive distraction.
Yeah.
You can still be you, but have this fundamental level of knowledge to fall back on.
Yes.
And offer a great program for everyone.
Yeah.
And not get stumbled and fumbled and fall over and just, it's a horrible class for everyone.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. Well, it sounds like you're on the right track right there. So last kind of subject before we start to wrap things up. So you have been battling GBS. Can you tell us about that and like explain to us what to our audience what that is?
Yeah, that's fun. Guillain-Barré syndrome is what I got. And specifically when I got cleared a couple weeks ago by a Stanford neurologist. He said I had the Miller-Fisher offshoot of it. So there's like, apparently I didn't realize there's six different versions.
Versions. Okay.
So essentially what happened was it was either a stomach virus or a chest infection. I had both in November. And after about 3 weeks later, 3 to 5 weeks after you get one of those, the antibodies that were used to fight that infection can turn on your body.
Wow.
And just start attacking your nervous system and attacking the antibodies that sit in your nervous system, the good ones.
That's crazy.
And it just sends your body into just complete disarray. And so it started with tingling in my hands and my feet and weakness in my legs. Like, it's hard to always explain, but essentially if you just take like walking with like your leg fell asleep, but like your whole leg fell asleep.
Yeah.
So you got that like wobbly, like I almost had to like kick my foot out. I just didn't have quad activation at first. And then from there it got to the point where the tingling started all the way up my legs, and then it was all the way up my arms, and then it was up to my stomach, chest. And then eventually one day I was like, maybe day four, I was like, I ordered food and I was like, I just need to eat. Like I hadn't eaten cause I'm like freaking out at that.
Yeah.
Like I golfed the day before it all started and thought like I had like fractured my spinal cord or something.
That's when your brain just starts going haywire.
So I wasn't eating. I was like starving myself in panic.
Yeah.
And I went to go eat and I was like, I can't, this food tastes like shit. Like, what the hell is wrong with me? Like, is it chicken strips, my favorite place? Like, I'm like, this tastes like, like, what the hell did they cook this in? Like, dish soap?
Yeah.
Like, come to find out, it was the tingling had gotten all the way up to my chin and the insides of my mouth had gone numb.
Wow.
Right? So I can't taste, like, the insides of my mouth can't taste anything. Like, I can feel it. I can kind of taste it.
That's
crazy.
But for
the most part, it was like taste had been subdued to almost nothing.
That's insane.
Like, oh, it was like, that's when I knew like I was really, really, I was in deep shit. Like my assistant went to take me to the chiropractor. We thought it was like a spinal thing.
Okay.
And trying to get in her car that day, I ended up like trying to hoist myself on our little handle and I ripped the handle off.
Wow.
Because like I couldn't lift my leg enough.
Dude, why did you just go to the hospital right away? Like, that's That's pretty intense.
You know, I have that one. I'm one of those idiots that likes to walk everything off.
Yeah, like, I'm one of those too. I'm a stubborn person.
I dislocated a toe one time, like getting out of the shower. My foot came slamming down on the railing of where the sliding door is,
yeah.
And it took my knuckle and popped it like that. Oh, so now my toe sits like this.
Oh my god!
And so it's just like it sits like that to this day. That was like 20 years ago, and like so I'm just that guy. I just walk shit off that I really shouldn't, and. Finally, the chiropractor's like, look, if this doesn't get better by tomorrow, like, you need to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
And it just got worse. Like, by that last day, I, like, almost fell over twice in front of, like, the HVAC guy. He had to grab me both times. And this was just, like, standing up and taking a step over, like, a blanket my son left on the ground.
Yeah.
And I was, like, crashing. You would have thought I was... The first thing they did was they asked me, how much do you drink? Because they thought I was having alcohol... withdrawals. Like I was just a closet alcoholic because that was what I was exhibiting.
Yeah.
And go to the ER and they're like, no, something's going on. I heard one of the guys say, I wonder if it's GBS.
Interesting.
Just offhanded.
Huh.
And they're like, well, we can't prove it here. Right. We don't have the technology. Right. They put me through probably an hour and a half of MRIs.
Wow.
Yeah. Like I had massive bruising on my forearms from like getting shoved in there for hours. They did my brain, my neck, my back, my whole back, and then they did it all over again with what they call contrast, where they put like the
I've had contrast.
And they run all the fluid through you so you can see anything like that, see if it's cancer or whatever.
Yeah.
And that night they're like, I'm gonna ship you up to Roseville to their neurology department.
Wow.
So I got shipped up there at like 3 a.m. in an ambulance. My wife drove up with me, stayed with me the whole time. Quite an angel. Because I know that bed she was sleeping on was awful. We know. If you've ever slept on those beds waiting for kids during labor,
I have.
Awful. So the next morning, the guy walks in and goes, all right, looks like we're going to do emergency neck surgery. You know, like one of the ones where they like put the plate in your neck and move everything.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I don't think so. Like, I just got here 3 hours ago, and I already know that's not what we're doing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, let me double check. So, like, you know, that was my wake-up call there. So after another 3 days of probably 4 more hours of CT scans, MRIs, I got a lumbar puncture attempt at the ER. They attempted, like, 7 or 8 times.
Wow.
I still have a little bit of a bruise, but the bruise was, like, because, like, they did, like, 7, 8, 9 attempts. It was the worst thing, probably the worst thing I've ever been through. And, they did another one, but this time they used imaging. So it was like really quick.
Right.
And so finally they were like, yeah, I think it's GBS. I think it's actually that. So they gave me this thing called IGIV treatment.
Where
it's like immunoglobulin, some basic good antibodies pumped into your body for 5 days. Like just IV. It was a drip. It was maybe, I don't know, for like you could speed it up every day, but like, towards the end, it was like 45 minutes, well, hour and 20 minutes, which is this trip.
Wow.
Of IGIV.
And you were in the hospital the whole time for the drip as well?
Yeah, I couldn't leave until the end of that.
Oh,
so,
man.
Like, that was like 4 or 5 days worth of my hospital stay. But I went from not being able to walk, like literally not like being able to walk, having to hold on to something everywhere I went, to what was it? Like that Sunday, I was in a walker.
Yeah.
Doing like a lap or two around the ward.
Yep.
And then the next day I was doing like 6 or 7 laps at a time. Cause with IGIV, you have to walk or you can get blood clots.
Yeah.
So then the day after that, I walked for the first time without a walker. I did a full lap around very gingerly, like just, you know, like, you get those kids that are like, your legs have gone to complete failure.
Yeah.
And you're like slapping the ground as you walk because you can't like feel anything. Like that's how I was walking. And then the day after that, I went to walking 6 or 7 laps. And then eventually I did it. I got out and been on the way up ever since. But it took me probably a solid 3 weeks to get my feet back under me completely.
Okay. Dang.
Yeah.
3 weeks. That's intense. So 5 days in the hospital, 3 weeks to get your feet back.
7 days in the hospital.
Oh, 7 days.
In the another hospital. 2 weeks to get my feet back to the point where I was lifting and stuff and cleared to lift. And
dang.
I was told that that was super lucky because a lot of people, it gets to their lungs and they have to be intubated and then put in a medically induced coma for like weeks on end.
Dude, that's gnarly. Well, yeah. Good thing you went in when you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to strength training.
Dude, seriously.
That actually threw them off. I was still too strong. That they were like, the average person does not exhibit this type of like resistance to these like physical tests.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I have a similar story too. It was about 6 years ago, I got sepsis. Same exact thing. Just was too stubborn to go to the hospital. Finally went in there, like, did all these tests. And then they were like, you know, I think it's sepsis. And I was like, no, it can't be. And then, same thing. And then I had a PICC line in me for like 2 weeks. You know, I was 7 days in the hospital, same thing, and was doing laps. So very relatable.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up here?
Man, I just appreciate you having me on. And like, if anybody ever wants to reach out for any reason, I'm always down to help or offer insights. Gym owners, people trying to lose weight, whoever. I just want to help.
That's awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Chris. It was a pleasure having you. Great story, man.
Thank you. That's awesome. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that was awesome. Thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review so that way we know to make more content just like this. Please follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit. I'm going to put all of Chris's social media links and his podcast in the show notes as well. So check him out. He makes some great content. So until next time, good luck. Have fun. Nailed it.